Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 8:04. Now is the time to make the call to Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Very delighted to be joined by Mark Caballi, 93.7 The Fan Steelers Insider, Pat McAfee's show, Steelers Insider. He'll be with us for the final 2 hours of the program. How you doing, Mark?
A little sleepy there, Adam.
You know, it's really 9:05, body clock-wise, so you should be feeling good.
You should, but, you know, I don't know how you do this. How do you bring the energy?
Oh, I'm filled with energy. You know that. You know that.
Oh, man.
I'm balls to the wall 99% of the time. And then I get home, and my five-year-old daughter's running around the house, and I can chase her for about 2 hours, and then I hit a wall, but I always bring it, baby.
Yeah, it's a rough morning. Sometimes you feel good, sometimes you don't feel very good, and today's one of those days that I'm lacking in the energy. I'm going with the double caffeine-flavored coffee or whatever. See if that makes the boost. You know, I do have an issue with some people that drink decaffeinated coffee.
I know you've said that before.
I mean, I don't understand it. Why drink it then? So I'm drinking like the high calf, the high test stuff, man.
Some people like the taste of decaf coffee, but they get jittery with the caffeine, or maybe they get heart palpitations. They don't want to deal with that.
Then drink something else.
But you like the taste of coffee is
Nobody
what I'm saying.
Nobody likes to drink taste of coffee.
That's not true.
No.
That's not true. A lot of people like the taste
like
of coffee.
Like the black coffee, you talk about my...
That's what I drink every day, black coffee.
Machismo.
Uh-huh.
Somebody who just drinks straight black coffee is like, look at me, man. I'm tough. I drink black coffee.
I love black coffee.
No, you don't.
And I don't like...
You don't like black coffee.
I love it.
You're lying.
I do. I don't want to put sugar... Beer didn't taste good first time you have beer, and then you drink it enough, and it's delightful. It's a palate kind of deal. Your palate changes, you get used to it, then you grow to like something and
Nobody.
Crave it and need it.
There might be the 1% of the population that actually likes the taste of black coffee.
412-928-9370. Text us. Brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And let me know, do you like the taste of black coffee? Did you have any problem with what Jason Kelce did? Now I got people on the text line saying they totally disagree with me. I said he's well within his rights. Someone's going to accost me. Someone's going to use offensive language. I'm going to take your phone. I'm going to slam it down. That guy who was saying that stuff is lucky that Kelce didn't beat him to a pulp. Yeah. I think you found the middle line there. I'm not one necessarily for destruction of property, but I'm guessing that guy's bothering him for a long time. You want to shut him up? Shut him up. He could have popped him, bang, right in the kisser. He could have.
First of all, I don't think you would have done anything.
No, me? No. No, but in principle.
Yeah, he is lucky. I mean, honestly, I think I like it because I'm not a big fan of the content producers. I don't know if he was, but you know, he was his only motive there was getting under the guy's skin.
Yes.
The guy was minding his own business. I mean, for everything you see publicly, Jason Kelce is a great guy. Why would you mess with him like that?
And he's messing with him. He's filming him because he wants to be this viral dude. He thinks he's going to get clout for clowning him about his brother's maybe wife one day.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just hope the kid, whoever it is, doesn't move forward on this and, you know.
Oh, he's going to sue
press
him.
Charges for
he's gonna
something.
He's going
to
sue him,
just let it go. Just let it go. And he is lucky. He's lucky he didn't get popped in the mouth. You know, like I said, I might go buy some of the old Kelce beer here. I was tweeting the other day. I felt the taste for it. just for after seeing that. You just don't like it because it's a Penn State fan, right?
I don't have.
Is there anybody positive saying, hey, Kelsey's out of line? I guess there's a
couple people on the text line saying that, Crowley, you're dead wrong on this. Dead wrong on this. And I just can't imagine expecting there not to be repercussions if you're going to get up in some dude's face. Like, that ain't the world that anybody should be living in. You're going to get up in my face, and I'm big.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something about it. Now, me in those circumstances, like if you're coming after my kid or something like that, that's different. Gloves are off, and God only knows. But you're coming after me, whatever. But how stupid do you have to be to go after a guy who could be wearing a gold jacket one day, whose principal job was to take 350-pounders and knock them on their ass? Yeah. Like, how stupid are you?
Yeah.
Anyhow.
I hear you. I mean, I don't know if I would have went to that degree of breaking the guy's phone, but if you hit somebody's nerve, you hit somebody's nerve.
That's
and
right.
And you really can't control yourself at that point. Should he have walked away? Probably, but.
Sean Myers, who's producing the show today and doing a very nice job, I might add.
Thank you, Adam.
Well, that's why it's welcome. Running smoothly, because Callis is in here. Okay, I didn't even notice this.
Sean said there's a distinction. I mean, if you're saying, oh, you stunk, oh, you really shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, oh, you're overrated, oh, you're bad on ESPN, that's one thing. When you start using that kind of language and talking about a sibling, I think that does take things to another level. All right, on to the Steelers now, and we'll grade them at the halfway mark. We'll look at some positives. We'll look at some negatives. Look at some things that might be sustainable. Some of their negatives that maybe they can turn around. We'll do all of that. Kaboli with us until 10. But do you think they'll get a wide receiver before the deadline?
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be a bargain basement kind of deal?
Yes, it's going to be bargain basement deal. They're going to get a wide receiver, and it's going to be somebody you're probably going to say, wow, is that all we can get?
Like a Mike Williams.
It's not going to be anybody going to
wow
you.
Tyler Boyd.
It's not, you know, I don't even know Tyler Boyd. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's on the block. He might be moving somewhere here. And
could have had him if they wanted him this
offseason. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They could have had him already, but maybe things have changed. But you know how that thing. I wouldn't anticipate that. I would imagine there's a couple other teams that would look for his services. There's still a handful of teams that need receivers because of injuries or in the playoffs right now. I mean, if I had my druthers, I probably would like to see Cortland Sutton, right? But, you know, Denver, are they pretenders? Are they contenders right now?
They sure looked every bit a pretender yesterday.
Yeah, but then they're...
Baltimore will do that to you.
They're in the sixth spot in the playoffs right now, so do you want to give up on him? I mean, that would be probably the top level right there. I don't think that would be the case. They'll find somebody, if it's Adam Thielen, whoever it might be. Throw anybody out there. And he's not going to be good enough to just say, okay, he's our number two right now. Van Jefferson's gone.
For me, it's not even just about number two. It's about, oh my gosh, what happens if George Pickens gets hurt?
Anybody. What happens if Calvin Austin gets hurt? Then you're throwing Scotty Miller in there. What happens?
Right.
I mean, who else you
and
have?
And you don't have Roman Wilson, who's basically going through a red shirt year, and I think through nobody's fault. I don't blame the Steelers for it.
Andy Isabella, you know, he's on the practice squad. I mean, I guess he has a high pedigree, but when terms of draft, I mean...
Mark,
yeah.
two guys I'd really be interested in, Chris Olave and Darius Slayton. And in fact, those would be my top two targets. They both leave yesterday's games with concussions. And the Olave one, it's just another in a long list of concussions for him. He got carted off the field. It looked real bad. Then his brother was tweeting some things online. People were asking, is it even worth it for Olave to come back? And his brother said, yeah, not to the Saints, it's not. So maybe he's available, but do you think the injuries with both of those guys would preclude the Steelers from targeting them?
Yeah, that's tough, because if you do make a deal, it would be pending a physical. And then you could put yourself in a bad situation where then he fails the physical, then you're left out in the cold. I would imagine they would stay away from guys of that, because they obviously need somebody. So I wouldn't think Olave would be a guy that they would want or even target right now. I don't think that's the case. Slayton, I know he and Van Jefferson work out in the offseason.
Oh.
They're pretty good friends. So those two would get along quite handsomely, so to speak, if he comes on.
Did you see Cordarrelle Patterson tweet again?
Yeah, I love Cordarrelle Patterson because he's the biggest troll in the world. He was 100%
tweeting DK Metcalf,
trolling you, and people are buying it. I love it.
I mean, you really think he would be upset if DK Metcalf were a Pittsburgh Steeler?
No, but he's trolling you.
I do wonder. So, Cooper Kupp going to be off the market. I mean, we heard what Sean McVay said 2 weeks ago about that. Then they've won two consecutive games. Now, Puka Nacua got hurt. But
you get hurt or you get ejected?
You know what? That was it. He got ejected. Good point. He had been hurt. He had just come back. They started to get things going. Then he gets ejected. They're now 4-4, but it feels like they're on the upward trajectory. Meanwhile, you look at Seattle. They're 4-4. Yeah. They're on the downturn. I do wonder if Lockett or Metcalf could be had. I would love Tyler Lockett.
Tyler Lockett is a pro's pro, man. He's a slot guy.
He got 400-plus yards this year. That guy never ages, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty one-dimensional as in, like I said, a slot guy, but I would take that dimension.
Absolutely.
Right? So
At some point, Mark, the Steelers are going to have to drop back and throw the ball traditionally without play action, without booting Russ. You're going to have to, at times, throw the ball over the middle of the field. Give me Tyler Lockett.
And the thing with Lockett, I don't even know what his contract is right now, but he's an older gentleman. I mean, if he's a rental, so be it, right? Okay, fine. We don't need you for the long-term future. We need you right now. So he could be a guy. I don't know about Metcalf.
He's got 1 year left on his deal next season.
You know,
Tyler Lockett does.
I mean, what question we've had forever now is George Pickens a legit number one? Do you want to invest a good bit of money in him next year? At this point, when you get a quarterback who can throw, you say yes. So do you really need a guy like DK Metcalf? What about, I mean, you throw T. Higgins in there too, right?
I don't think the Bengals in a million years would trade him to the Steelers.
He's been hurt too, man.
He has.
Last couple of years, he's
that is a PR disaster. And I wonder the same thing, and Doran brought this up last week with Cortland Sutton. You're paying Russ all this money not to play for you, and then you send Cortland Sutton over to the Steelers and help Russell Wilson win.
Yeah, you see any of those videos where the Denver fans are watching the Steelers game and just rooting against Russell? Come on, I cannot believe it. They're going crazy. It's actually quite entertaining. The video is taping themselves in live action of absolutely killing themselves because Russell's being successful.
Yeah, I don't get it. I think Russ is a stand-up guy, and I think clearly the coach was the problem for each of those 2 years. Mark Caboli brought to you by Bet365, and also Mark Caboli brought to you by the injury lawyers of LGKG. LGKG, Western PA injury lawyers for over 90 years. There's another wide receiver that I don't think is out there, but I've received like a dozen texts on this guy. We'll talk about him coming up next, and then we'll get into some of the surprises, positive and negatively, for the Steelers in the first 8 games of their season. Right now, it's time for a Sean Myers fan headline. Mark Caboli in with us until 10 o'clock. Doran will be back tomorrow. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Couple more things on the trade deadline, which is tomorrow, with Caboli, before we take a 30,000-foot view at the Steelers. A lot of people have texted in, go get Tyreek Hill. Now, his base salary for next year is $10 million. The cap hit next year is $31 million. And then the base salary in 2026 is about $30 million, with a cap hit of $55 million. But there's a potential out after next year. I mean, I don't know that they're moving on from Tyreek Hill.
No. Plus, it's a little rich, considering you have to sign T.J. Watt next year, Pickens next year. And
I ain't signing Pickens if I get Tyreek Hill.
No.
And I live with that. I'm okay with that.
You've got to pay your quarterback something more than $1.1 million a year as well. So it still is a long-term view to this rather than just this year. You have to keep that in mind.
Any wide receiver they bring in, though, like I make my peace with George Pickens – probably isn't going to be around. If they brought in one of the big guys, like if it had been Ayuk, now the Jacoby Myers, the real guys like that, it's not the same. But if they were to get a Tyreek Hill, the money doesn't really change that much because you wind up not paying Pickens.
Yeah, I'm sure that he would want an extension. Didn't he just get an extension though, right, Tyreek? Didn't he just sign one just a couple months ago?
I just clicked out of his
thing.
I hate the cap.
No, it's not the cap. I just don't follow Tyreek Hill's contract status right now.
I mean, I would make a call if I'm Omar Khan. I don't think it's
super
realistic.
Sure, he made a call to everybody who's available. You have to understand, I know you were, I was listening to you on the way here. And
thank you.
I was the one. So, and you were pretty much putting all the blame on Omar, whether they get the guy or not.
Yes.
It's more complicated than that.
It's Adam. Not because
it's a lot more complicated than
okay,
that.
So here's, I agree and disagree. It's really hard to get it done in season.
What I'm talking about
really
is in-house. You're thinking that, okay, Omar said, boy, we really need X player. I'm going to go get him. No, there's different layers you have to go through. You have to okay it with the coach. Does the coach okay with it? I mean, does the money count? Does the money fit with what you want?
Did you just throw up in your mouth a little bit?
I don't know what I did there. It was me looking at my coffee.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And wondering, pretending like it was black coffee with no sugar.
All right, go on.
And there's a lot of different views. I mean, you got to talk to a guy like Andy White on the scouting department and see if they fit in what they want to do. Then you have to move forward and try to get this guy for a reasonable price. So it's just not like Omar comes in and says, boy, I feel like getting Chris Olave today. Let's go. He probably brings a list to the group and say, hey, we can potentially get X, Y, and Z. Which way are we going to go here? Okay. Whatever. I mean, what I'm saying is there's different layers to this that you just can't put it all on Omar. I mean, the good stuff, too.
Fair, sure, but fair enough. Then it's an organizational failure if they don't get a guy.
Yes.
But it will be a failure. And they're telling us that. Like, here's a text. For the love of God, please get this guy off the air. Talking about me, not you. Got to get a guy. Couple big pops. They need a number two. It's worse than ESPN and the Dallas crap. Stop begging the team to make moves. Look, I'm a fan. And I think most fans should be saying they need a guy. Because guess what they're saying? They need a guy. That's where I always come down on this. They're putting it up on billboards all over town, basically. Ayuk, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp. Oh, they were close on Christian Kirk, then he broke his clavicle or whatever. Like, they clearly, desperately want somebody.
They're showing you, but they're not telling you. They'll tell you the opposite of that. But you got to look at the fan perspective, too. You're 6-2.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably playing your best ball right now. You got the quarterback that you think's going to have a chance to lead you here. When other are you going to have this type of opportunity as well? That's what you have to look at.
This is the best the team has been since 2018, and it's not even close. This team, I think, is better than the one that started 11-0 in 2020. Like, that one, there was a lot of smoke and mirrors. Yeah. Ben, his arm fell off. His legs didn't work at the end of the year. It was good for a solid chunk early. That team was doing it, and they were effective, and they were finding ways, but they never looked the part for me. This team looks the part a little bit.
We hear so much complaints in the offseason. You're just happy to be 9-8 and get in the playoffs and lose. You have an opportunity here, if you add a right piece or not, to maybe advance that a little bit. And that, and what we've seen over the past 8-10 years is it's not that easy to matriculate in the playoffs here.
When you are there, and the deadline has changed so much, really, since the last time they won a playoff game. Like, we're seeing the NFL's trade deadline used to mean jack crap.
Yeah,
and now it's every bit as intriguing as Major League Baseball's and the NHL and the NBA's. Like, these opportunities where you really see a true, well-rounded contender, they don't come around every year. And you do got to be pot committed here. And I do think they'll ultimately wind up getting a guy. Do they need to look at other positions? Like, do they need to upgrade someplace else?
Oh, I'm sure they're going to look at a lot of different positions. I mean, you'd have to look at corner, but I think Cam Sutton coming back at least quiet that a little bit, because he at least gives them depth. Okay, he stunk in Detroit as an outside corner. Well, you hope not to use him there. You use him for depth. So, I mean, that could be a position as well. And you're always looking for depth along the defensive line as well. Maybe outside linebacker. So I'm sure that it's going to be, they're looking at multiple positions here. Maybe nothing on offense, I don't think, other than the receiver position. But I think it wouldn't be surprised if they bring a corner. And once again, it's not going to be anybody that's going to
more knock
the socks off. I mean, it's going to be the William Jackson III, right? The great mystery of William Jackson's one practice and never play.
Real quick, do you think that Sutton just steps in right away and is your slot?
No, I think it'll take a week or two, but talk to me the Baltimore game, maybe. I don't even know who's out there. By the Cleveland game, I think he takes over. I know that you don't like that because of your
Virginia. No, I just want the I just want the Steelers to win. I don't care. I mean, what
I mean, we're talking about a veteran cornerback that got paid by the Lions. That's how good he was. Now he was out of position, I do believe, in Detroit. You put him back in that position. I've watched him play, man. He came off the street cold late in May and looked like, oh, this guy still has it in that slot position. Now Beanie's gotten better. I don't know if you can mix and match and find different ways to use them both. I don't know if that's the case, but I think Beanie, I think they slowly work in Cam Sutton that by, you know, a week, 2 or 3 weeks, he'll would be your starter.
And this doesn't get talked about enough. They're getting run on a lot in the nickel. I mean, you bring him in. He's a bigger guy. He's not a great run stuffer, but he's better than what Beanie Bishop could provide at 5'9".
Yeah, you know, that's another thing is you get a little worried about, I mean, they did give up 150 yards rushing the other day. And then those big plays are the ones that really stick out. You cannot do that and be successful in the NFL.
Not with Baltimore coming up, not with Washington, not with the Bengals coming up. I mean, you got a lot of good offenses coming down the pike. All right, where are the Steelers right now at the midway point? Who are the biggest disappointments, the biggest success stories? How do we evaluate the job Mike Tomlin has done? We'll get to all that and more with Caboli. He's in with us until 10. But first, it's a Sean Myers fan headline. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. James Franklin can't beat Ohio State. If he doesn't win a playoff game, do you want him fired? You can vote at _ Adam Crowley. I do feel like those results are going to be tainted. I have a lot of people from WVU that follow me, a lot of Pitt people that follow me, so it's not exactly going to be a clear result on that one.
Yeah, I looked at it. I think it was like 70% fire him.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I thought, boy, this is probably this wouldn't really pass the old test of
Yeah, if I was fairness. Doing a radio show out in State College, I wonder what the results would look like, because that's not exactly a voting.
I have no dog in the fight here, but I don't know how you could fire him. Okay, he stinks against Ohio State, but you better be careful what you wish for if you bring somebody else in.
That's my exact take, actually, Mark. Like, now that the playoff has expanded, given where he has the program, I sort of figure they'll make a lot of these college football playoffs. And then you judge him on what he does there. Okay, you're not Ohio State. Most programs aren't. So can you win some playoff games? If you can't, then maybe you revisit the conversation, but... Yeah. We'll see.
You're just a hater.
Well, someone just texted in and said, quit hating on guys from Morgantown.
They must not know who you are.
Yeah, that's me, always hating on the Dub V guys. Steelers going to get a lot of guys back from injury, right? I mean, Zach Frazier, Herbig should be coming back.
Yes, those guys could be back this week.
Cordero Patterson.
2 weeks. I mean, all three of those guys could be back this week. They could just wait another week and bring him back after the Commanders game. I mean, obviously, Sutton's back. I think they got a roster exemption on him until the end of the week or something like that. So, yeah, they are definitely getting healthier, or as healthy as they can right now. But in key positions, I mean, we're talking about Herbig and Frazier. Those are two pretty significant players that you've lost.
Well, think about the Beanie Bishop interception at the end of the game against the Giants. Highsmith not on the field. Watt not on the field. So the most critical down of the football game until that point, neither of your edge rushers are out there because they're busting their ass the entire game. And Watt does pull himself out when he knows he can't give it. And I don't blame him for that. But Herbig coming back in a pass rushing role, huge. Huge.
Yeah, you know, it's surprising with Watt is he normally lines it up so he's on the field for the third down big plays. So he'll sit out a lot of first and second downs when he's winded. So for him to come out late in games is kind of surprising. But you can only, in that position, you can only play 80% of the snaps effectively.
Right.
Without just, you know, being ineffective.
That's why depth is important, not just for injuries, but you want to be able to rotate guys. How concerned are you about the defense? I know they're second in the league in points allowed, but look at it, man. They ain't played a murderer's row of offenses, and we have seen some warts. I think it's a good defense. I think we find out if it's a great defense in this second half. Washington's going to test you. Baltimore, this ain't your older brother's Baltimore Ravens. This is the best offense they've ever had. Cincinnati might have the second best quarterback going in football right now in Joe Burrow. He threw 5 touchdowns yesterday.
Chiefs.
Eagles have turned it around. The Chiefs are always the Chiefs. Do you think the Steelers defense can hold up against these teams?
I think they can hold up, but not to the point of, well, you have to allow 14 or fewer points, you know. If you're able to get below 20 points, you're going to like where you're at now, especially what you saw from the offense here the last couple of weeks. So I don't think they need to be flawless. They don't need to be the number one shutdown defense in the league. There's definitely things that needs to be cleaned up here, and I think that helps with the Herbig's return and the Cam Sutton's coming back here. But I like their defense. I mean, I think you need more plays from Minka, but they much rather have him prevent the balls over the top right now, and I don't know if that's the proper way to go about it. But I don't think this is a dominant win yourself 7 or 8 games type of defense. It can win you a couple. But
they can win you the games against the teams that they've kind of won you games against this year. I mean, Indianapolis, they lose. Dallas, they lose, although they only give up 20 points because of the takeaways. But, you know, they should be able to slow down a Chargers offense and a Kirk Cousins offense in his first game back. That win is aging well, but he wasn't the same player then as he is now. Like, they've always, even last year, been able to largely beat up on the bad teams defensively. It's these good teams. And you look at the playoffs and all the points they've allowed in playoff games. But is your offense now in a position, 13th now in the league in points for, where you feel, okay, if you hold teams to 20-24, we can actually win those games now?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the key to the success or failure over the second half, I think, if you're going to be able to keep up. I mean, obviously, they're not going to have average 400 yards and 30 points per game over the second half of the season, but sometimes you're not going to need that consistently. The biggest fear you have to have if you're a Steelers fan now is when, if that defense does have that brain fart and gives up those 28, 30 points, will the offense be able to overcome that? Right now, I don't know how many teams can, to be honest with you, but that's what you have to worry about, that one game where the defense, like, you know, the playoff games where it's like,
right,
oh my goodness, you're out of it before you're even in it. So I think they definitely have to play better defense. I mean, you can't give up the big plays. As long as they're able to, I mean, we've seen it the last 2 weeks, the Jets and the Giants, or 3 weeks or whatever it is, that if they've been giving up more the bigger plays.
But they also make the big play.
Yeah, when it counts.
Right, and I think...
But what happens when that doesn't happen?
I know, and that's where complimentary football comes in and where you got to be able to score some points. We'll get back to the Steelers coming up at 9 o'clock. We're going to go around the NFL when we return, but first, it's a Sean Myers fan headline. All right, taking a trip around the NFL, brought to you by Champ Tires, Pittsburgh trusted tire source since 2009. And the 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I know that I am guilty of having said that I'm not all that worried about the Ravens, Mark. The Steelers have always played well against the Ravens, won 7 out of their last 8 games against Baltimore, but... You know, the more you watch them, I don't know that they even run the ball enough with Derrick Henry, but their quarterback, Lamar Jackson, vying for a third MVP, his second consecutive MVP, had a passer rating of 158.3 yesterday and did not target Deontay Johnson once. So how much different is this vintage of the Baltimore Ravens?
Ooh, I think they have that run game. I think that's the biggest key. I mean, Derrick Henry's just an absolute star still right now. He had 23 carries yesterday, but a lot of those came late in the game when they were trying to run out the clock.
I wouldn't even have had him in there at that point.
They tried to get him over 100.
They did, which is nuts because the week before they only handed him the ball 11 times, and I don't think they used him anywhere near enough against Cleveland.
I think they are limited by their coach. I think that if you look back and see why Baltimore is going to end up losing to the Steelers or why they might be exited out of the playoffs early before the Super Bowl, I would say it's because of the coach.
He tends to overthink himself against the Steelers. Tomlin wants to drag him into a dogfight, wants it to be 16-13, and I think Harbaugh is always up for that. When talent-wise, offensively, they're as good as it gets in the entirety of the NFL. All right, how about the Cincinnati Bengals? They score 41. They beat the Raiders. The Raiders stink. The Raiders fired Getsy today. Joe Burrow, 5 touchdowns. They're a game out of playoff contention. Are they back?
I don't know about back.
Their defense stinks. So does Baltimore's.
Well, Hendrickson had 4 sacks, so, but the Raiders' tackles really, really stink. I mean, as long as basically you look at Cincinnati and is where Joe Burrow goes is where they're going to go. I mean, if he keeps throwing 5 touchdowns, should have been 6 yesterday, they will go far. They got the talent on offense. Chase Brown's looking good. If T. Higgins didn't even play yesterday. So I think they're so flawed defensively, flawed offensive line-wise, flawed running game. But Joe Burrow, I mean, you got to start throwing his name out there for potential MVP.
Absolutely.
That's how well he's playing. As long as he continues to play like he has, they're definitely in the conversation here.
Texter, is Doran sick? He sounds like an unhealthy, groggy white guy.
Why would you say unhealthy?
I just read it. I didn't say it.
Now, you know, I think you're very selective with the text you read.
That's right.
That text came from Crowley's number now that I look at it.
Do you guys ever hear the story? One time I was hosting a show back at my old place, and I gave my phone number instead of the radio's phone number. Got blown up.
Sounds like something you would do.
One time Tim Benz did that at a, what was it? St. Patrick's Day broadcast. And a whole bunch of drunk people just kept calling his number and texting his number, and he actually had to change his number.
You know,
it was that bad.
See, I'm the opposite because, you know, when you go somewhere like, hey, can I get your number? I'm like, oh, geez, what is my number?
You don't even remember your number.
Oh, I have to, like, go to the old settings and say, what is my number?
Oh, my God. All right, well, coming up next, I read Mark Caboli's phone number on the air. You okay with that?
You can have my old number. We can give somebody else's number. We'll give him Yoey's number.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You can give us a ring at 412-928-9370. Coming up next, Steelers' second half schedule. Once looked at as a gauntlet, how are we viewing it now? Plus some positives and negatives from the first half of the Steelers' season. Mark joining us until 10. Right now, it's Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event. Now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Mostly sunny today, a high 71.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.